there used to be a program called Make Way for Music that Roger Moffat used to. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course I do.
With Sheila Buxton and Roberta Cardinale.
And the Alan clipboard Ainsworth came into its own.
Alan Ainsworth and the orchestra and so on. And just around that time, that program finished. And I was, and frankly, Michael Holliday used to do a series at that time too. And then Michael died. And there was a sort of a gap left, and the NDO was available. So they thought they'd give me a whirl and try me on this thing. John Ammons had used me on some programs, and he decided to try it out. And I did my first program up there, half-hour program in Manchester. And it was a very low-budget program. There, you know, it was just me and the band. And the guests were virtually unknown people who came along. And one night we had a girl singer on, and she sang a beautiful little lullaby. And she had a lovely little lace dress with a little lace collar on, long dress. And she sang this lullaby. And John Ammons thought it would be a nice idea if she sang it sitting down, as it were, by a fire in a little pool of light, because it was such a gentle song. And she sat down, and she had a neck mic down inside her dress, you see, a little tiny neck mic. And she started to sing this thing, and she rocked gently on the chair. And as she rocked back and forward, we could hear this coming over the sound somewhere. And they thought, what the hell is that? So we couldn't work it all out. So John said, hold it, hold it, just a minute. So he came down, they checked the chair and the oil, the rockers, and they did everything. And she started off again, and we got coming over again. And they, after about sort of 10 minutes of investigation, believe it or not, they discovered that what was squeaking was our bra, actually. And she...
living bra.
I don't know. Well, it was living. She was living it up. I don't know what sort of a bra it was, but she must have had some sort of bones in it or something. But so that the mic was down here, and the amplified this little, which came out of the bra, you see, and so that's what it was. So rather than change the mic and everything, John said, no. He said, we haven't got time. We must get finished this number now. He said, she better sing the song. Just stand her up by that little fireplace area there. Let her stand there and sing the song, which she did. But by then, he'd got some lovely pictures of this chair in a little pool of light, you see. And I was going to sing a ballad later on. So he said to me, I'll tell you what, he said, I'd like to try that ballad of yours just sitting in that chair. I'm sure it'll look nice. Well, and I sat and I did the ballad in the chair. And the next week, you know, we got letters about the chair, would you believe? And when I go around the world now, I bring a chair on at the end, and it gets more applause than me. The rocking chair gets more applause than I do. And but the lovely thing about it was I did an interview in America some years ago, and I told that story, you know, and the headline in the paper the next day was that, you know, Irish singer becomes successful because he doesn't wear a bra. And they worked it out, and what a headline to have. I mean, everybody sort of got the paper. They said, this has got to be a good story, this.